The first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So our gospel lesson today happens to be also the lectionary passage for today from Luke's gospel. And Luke, the gospel writer, kind of gives away the ending to the parable in the very first sentence. So see if you can pick that up as Luke shares this parable from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my accuser. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so she will not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of the Lord. In an inner city neighborhood, during the height of the civil rights movement, there's a large group of people attending a town hall meeting about difficult and unfair and oppressive conditions in their community. And the meeting was held in a church, as many were back then. And the pastor of that church was an elderly African-American pastor who began the meeting by standing up and reading that parable that we just heard. And he proceeded to offer just a one-sentence interpretation before sitting down. He said, until you have stood for years knocking at a locked door, your knuckles bleeding, you do not really know what prayer is. Well, we hope to offer more than a one-sentence interpretation of the parable today, but this is quite a witness. It is about persistence in prayer. And it's also about the faith that prayer is answered. I just love that this parable came up on the lectionary this weekend because it seems so relevant for us now. So many have been praying for the most intractable problems in the world, in Gaza, in Ukraine, praying that the violence would stop, that the children would stop being killed, praying for divisions in our own country, praying for divisions to heal, praying for unity against this backdrop of the government shutdown and things that we're all dealing with right now. And praying about just our own feeling of chaos and disorder. How should we pray in the midst of all this? Can we keep praying in the midst of all this? Well, Jesus said, in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the chaos around you, we should pray always and not lose heart. So to understand this parable a little bit more, would you go back to me with me again, travel back with me to that first century and think about this story told by Jesus. To get a real feeling for the parable, we return to a courtroom in first century Roman-occupied Palestine. It's far different from the ideals that we wish for in our modern court system. A historian of the time wrote this very descriptive setting of the first century court, which the followers of Jesus would have perfectly understood as they heard this story. It goes like this. On a slightly raised dais at one end of the chamber, the judge sat, probably a Roman official, half buried in cushions. Around him sat his secretaries or other officials. The rest of the hall holds the populace, all trying to get their case heard. There seems to be no formal docket. There's chaos. A dozen voices shout at once to the judge. Some litigants pass bribes, conveniently called fees, for their case to be heard. The secretary, when satisfied with the fee, would whisper to the judge and the case would be heard. Of course, it was widely assumed that whichever party offered the larger fee would prevail. So that's the picture. Picture this setting of chaos and corruption into which Jesus introduces the widow. Assumed to be poor because, well, women largely were not able to own property and assumed to be without means. No money to offer for fees. But yet interrupting the court with loud shouts for justice, for justice. The judge and the secretaries reprimand her, but she persists. Or as the saying in D.C. a few years ago, nevertheless, she persisted. So the widow continues to persist. Now, even Jesus notes that the judge cares nothing for God's will. The judge cares nothing for justice or compassion. So it is a true case of the powerless against a callous, corrupt holder of power. And as often is the case that we find in the scriptures, especially stories told by Jesus, the powerless prevail. A surprising reversal happens. The underdog is granted justice. Oh, no superhero comes to save the day. The widow prevails just on her own persistence. The judge gives her justice because of her continual cries to be heard. We found in studying parables and in trying to interpret parables, there are things that help us put a structure to some of them. And this parable is called a how much more parable. And it goes like this. The reasoning is, we know God is good. We know God is gracious. God is not corrupt or callous. So therefore, if this judge, who is corrupt and callous, will answer just because of persistence, how much more will God, who is good, answer those who cry out? In no way is Jesus depicting God as a mean, unfeeling judge. That would be a misinterpretation. Jesus often uses wonderful hyperbole in his stories. If this judge would do it, how much more will God, who is good? So the good news of the parable is God responds to prayer. However, it's not often on our time or our schedule. That's the question to which Jesus directs this parable. What to do when things are tough? What to do when chaos is all around you? What to do when you feel powerless to challenge some act of evil or some act of corruption? And what's worse, when it feels like God is silent in the midst of all of this? Why does not God act? Why does not God answer? The question of course, how God answers prayer is a challenging one. We can't know the mind of God except from what we see in Scripture. And some over the years have said, well, not only does God answer prayer, but there are at least four answers to prayer, and maybe more. They are this. They are yes, no, wait, and I've got something better. For me, in the midst of a crisis, the hardest one is wait. This is the pain of that pastor during the civil rights movement, knocking on the door with knuckles bleeding. Our world, you and I, we're all attuned to instant gratification. We'll just order it up on Amazon, and it will be right there. We'll open our Amazon prayer app. You have that, don't you? And we'll have it on next day delivery. I have it on a good idea that the kingdom of God does not work in that way. You know, if you remember way back during the time of Lent, we read of Jesus in the garden, persistently praying while others fell asleep. And his prayer is, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. It was a confident recognition that the Father would answer that prayer. So often we have to wait to see what God's will is for us, for a situation. By faith, we let God direct what's best for us. But as we wait, we sharpen our focus. We strengthen our resolve. We keep knocking on that door. We become more motivated. We seek what is true and what is right. The story tells us that God will deal with our cries for justice according to God's will. God's time. God answers prayer, but it is in God's time. I've been reading a lot of the interpreter William Barclay, who wrote about 100 years ago, I guess. But he writes a lot about parables, and about this particular parable, he concluded this. He said, "Is there a reason to expect that we should get whatever we pray for? Often a parent has to refuse the request of a child because they know that what the child asks for would not help." And Barclay continues with this. Jesus said we must never be discouraged in prayer. That's why he wondered if humans' faith would stand the long delays before the Son of Man should come. We will never grow weary in prayer, and our faith will never falter if, after we've offered to God our prayers and requests, we add that perfect prayer, "Thy will be done." So we pray with confidence, We pray with persistence. We pray with faith that God will answer. We pray for those who seek help. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Persistent prayer is not about God's inattention, but perhaps about ours. We're living in a world not all that different from first century Palestine of Jesus' day, a world where we often feel overcome and overwhelmed by adversaries greater than us. Yet Jesus tells us that ultimate justice will be in the coming kingdom of heaven. Meanwhile, we labor and we pray and we work for the kingdom of heaven and not give up and not give in. Like that widow, we cry out for justice right here and now. The widow simply refused to give up or give in. How about us? We have this promise in Scripture that prayer is answered. So we will pray with confidence, with persistence, with a sure knowledge that we are heard, and maybe most importantly, for God's will to be done. Thanks be to God. Amen.